Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
A friend of mine called me this week and said, hey, are you guys having a big Sunday for Back to Church Sunday? I said, what's Back to Church? Oh, it's a national campaign. Everybody's coming back to church. I said, where you been? We've been done having church. I know that's not good English. We've been done having church, man. What have you been doing? Well, we've been online for how long? You live in the great state of Texas, my friend. We've been open for business the entire time. So anyway, welcome to National Back to Church Sunday. You didn't know it, but here it is today. Just like all the grandparents who got grandparents' gifts last Sunday and you didn't even realize it was Grandparents' Day. Jaden, Tyler, did you get your grandparents something for Grandparents' Day? I would have, if my grandparents are all in heaven, I would have got them something. Some of you grandparents are mad right now. You didn't know it was your day. Hey, collect on them. You got collect on. And you say, well, I can't make them give me something. Yeah, you can. Christmas is 97 days away. No Grandparents' Day gifts? Come on now. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, verse 22 and verse 36, the bookends of David's life. This sermon series, and forgive me for comparison, but as a pastor, I compare my own works against one. And so I'll ask Mandy. I'll say, Mandy, I've got two sermon series. This is the name of this sermon series. This is the whole theme. So I did that with King of Hearts and Plot Twist. Which one goes on Sunday? Which one goes on Wednesday? She tells me what she does. I usually do the opposite of what she does. A lot of times I do the opposite. But I went with Plot Twist on Wednesdays because there's five Wednesdays in September. I needed more time with that one. This series has perplexed me because it's hard to preach something that we cannot see, which is heart. Everything that we see action-wise is because of heart. Every word we say is because of heart. But it's something hard to preach because it's not favor, and it's not blessing. It's not, but it is literally becoming like God. You know, the hardest things we will ever perfect in our life is the things we can't see. Because we think that just because we can't see them, they're not there. Or because we can't see them, that no one else knows that they're not there. But I want to dive into this because today I've got some things that I believe are going to bless you and challenge all of us to become more like God and to get his heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when God had removed him being Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Acts 13, verse 36, the King James Version reads, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. This is the third installment of the King of Hearts, David, the man after God's heart. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm about to have a heart transplant before I leave today. You may be seated. The writer of Acts tells us that David was chosen to be king because of his heart. That God knew what type of man David would become, and he could really define his future and determine his future by what beat in his chest. Can I tell you that as smart as you are, as intelligent as you seem, as well prepared and as studied as you are, without the heart of God, your future is in limbo. It's up and down. There's a lot of people who have lost millions of dollars on the stock market, and they're very smart people. There are relationship people. And I always find it weird that when the relationship counselors have been married four or five times, because the only thing you can tell me to do is what not to do, not what to do. So I know a lot of people who, where they are in their life, there's a lot of ups and downs, and it doesn't seem like everything is going to work. It doesn't seem like they're on top a lot, and that comes down to what beats in their chest and their heart. And so The writer of Acts would tell us that David was chosen because of his heart. That before he became king, God looked at his heart. Before he was anointed, God looked at his heart. Before God lifted him up and elevated and promoted him in his life, he looked at his heart. Can I encourage you that as talented as you are, you might be able to sing with the best of them, preach with the best of them. You might be able to make money with the best of them. You might have amazing children and a great family. But until you have the heart of God, God cannot elevate you. Because until you have the heart of God, God can't trust you. See, when I have the heart of God and when you have the heart of God, what we're saying, church, is God, I trust you. I trust you to take the stony, messed up heart that I have. And Lord, I'm encouraging you. I'm begging you. I give you permission to place your heart in my body. And when I have your heart, God, now I know that you can trust me because I trust you. The last couple sessions, the prophetic declaration of David's life before he was anointed as king was, David is a man after my own heart, God said. The declaration at the death of David was that David served his generation. It's impossible to serve your generation unless you have the heart of God. I remember I was sitting in Austin, Texas many years ago, and we started something years ago here at Living Way called Epic. Y'all remember Epic? Epic was 24 hours of praise and worship, nonstop. We would have about 18 to 19 praise and worship teams. The live music, live praise, live prayer would never stop. And I thought we were really shaking heaven's gates until I went up to Austin, and they did 50 hours. And my friend Rick Pino was leading worship there. And Rick Pino is known for a lot of things. I love Rick. So, Rick, if you see this, just know that everyone knows this now that knows me. If you type in worst worship ever into your YouTube search engine, you will get a young Rick Pino fresh out of Bible school singing, "You turn me right around, Jesus, right around like a..." And it just, I mean, kids have their socks off. They're spinning them around. It's crazy. And so I'm sitting on the back row, and Rick's leading worship. And Rick said one statement, and it was worth my drive up there, 60 miles one way. And this is what he said about David. He said, "Understand this, that with all of David's problems, with all of David's mistakes, David was never moved by obligation. He was always serving because he loved God, loved his house, loved his people." Can I encourage you, church, that when we get the heart of God, we will never look at serving as an obligation. I have to. It turns into I want to, and then the place that God wants us, church, is I get to. I get to serve at church. I get to lead worship. I get to serve as an usher. I get to run a camera. I get to hold a greeter sign. I get to... That's where David was. And so with all of David's flaws, God said, "I can deal with his flaws because if his heart's right, the flaws cannot stay. They will be fleeting flaws, and they will show up for a season, and they will leave just as quick because David loves me so much, my house so much, and the people so much that it's never an obligation for him to do anything I've called him to do. He looks at it as I'm excited that God would include me." Can I encourage you that we ought to wake up every day saying, "God, you could have chose anybody, but you chose me. You could have made me do 100 different things and jump through hoops to get to you, but Jesus, you came to us. You died on a cross for us. You died for us, and all you ask us to do is to live for you. I'm not moved by obligation, but by love, because I have the heart of God." Last session, we talked about hardened hearts. Hardened hearts will rob us of the revelation of what God is doing, where God is doing it, and who God is using to do it. Hardened hearts, skeptical hearts. I know a lot of great people that I just shake my head on social media because they love to run down great men and women of God and write them off as charlatans and write them off as fakes and phonies. Friends of mine that I know love God and serve God, and all that comes down to is a hardened heart. They got their eyes off of God and started getting it on people. Can I encourage you? Your heart will never harden if you keep your focus on Jesus. And when your heart is not hardened, you'll always be looking for how God's going to do it, where he's going to do it, who he's going to. You'll never miss out on what God is doing when your heart is pliable and not hardened. To have a heart like God, we must give all of our heart to him. Some is none. You give your, in marriage, you give your all. If you're not giving your all in marriage, your marriage will not last. Everybody has to give their all. It's not 80-20. It's not 60-40. It's not even 51-49. It is, I'm giving you 100%. You're giving me 100%. God's adding his 100%. And we're going to make this thing work. And this marriage is going to stand. It's going to be strong. It's going to be fruitful. To have a heart like God, you must meditate on his word so that your mouth and your actions match your heart. To have a heart like God, you must have a pure heart. And I love this. This is where we left off last session. A pure heart, which leads to clean hands. When your heart's pure, you'll do the right things, which leads to a blessing and vindication. There is a different blessing than just having clean hands. Clean hands leads to a blessing. Blessing leads to God vindicating every wrong in your life and turning them around. Let's go to 51st Psalm, verse 10. This is one of David's most popular prayers and the calls to God. And I'm sure that David cried this cry at one of the most fallen times in his life. Doesn't tell us directly when he wrote this and directly when he penned this and prayed this. But in my mind, I could see him praying this after he had messed up with Bathsheba or after he had made a decision with Bathsheba's husband to have him killed. But this is what David would say. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Or take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, that's a powerful verse, verse 11. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Just put dog ear that page or circle that because we're going to go to 1 Samuel 16 in just a little bit. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know what gives this verse the greatest context is that five verses before this in Psalm 51, verse 5, David is lamenting, saying this, I was born into sin, I was shapen in iniquity. That sounds almost like an excuse. Where you were born, how you were born, who your parents are, what your parents did, you might not know your dad, your mom might have given you up for adoption, all of the story, you can never use that as an excuse because this is what David was saying. David was saying, with all of that in mind, God, I am here to have a fresh start, and that fresh start starts with my heart, not with my actions. See, some wife in here has been praying, God, I pray that you would change. I pray that my husband would quit doing that. Quit praying that prayer. This is the prayer you pray. God, create in my husband a clean heart, a pure heart. Your wife might be acting a different way than when you married her. Your kids might be out of line and rising up to question your authority or come against your authority. Your body, all of these things. But a lot of times we pray against the symptom and we pray that we want things to change. Things will never change until the heart changes. And so when you are praying for your enemies, don't pray that they would stop picking on you. Don't pray that they would stop coming against you. Pray, God, I pray that in them you would create a heart of God, a heart of gold. Lord, I pray, God, that you would clean their heart up and give them a pure heart. We pray the wrong things and then we get the wrong things. I don't want a reprieve from the enemy. I want deliverance from the enemy. And the way that I get the enemy's hands out of my life is to get the heart of God into my chest. Let me say it again. The way that you get the enemy's hands out of your life is to get God's heart in your chest. Because when you've got the heart of God, you're going to say the right things, do the right things, and the enemy's going to say, oh, I didn't know he had it like that. They're going to move on to a different target. Just five verses after he says, I was born into sin, shaped in iniquity. He says, create in me a pure heart. That word create means something out of nothing. Not change my heart. Create in me a pure heart. Create in me a new heart. Remember, your heart is deceitfully wicked above all. Who can know it? That's before Jesus comes in. That's where we get the vernacular like when we accept Jesus into our heart. God, I want you to sit on the throne of my heart. And actually, let me rephrase that. Not my heart. God, I want you to sit on the throne of your heart that you put in me. God, I want to live different and be different. And I need your heart. Create something new, something out of nothing. Then he says this, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew there means to reestablish. This is a prayer that we should pray every day. Not on January 1st, not when hell is breaking loose, not when we've had a bad day, not when the political scene is crazy. We need to be praying this every morning. God, create in me your heart, that I can see things like you, respond like you would, talk like you would, react, do things like you would. How many of you have ever had a membership somewhere and they start sending you texts and emails about renewing your membership? And they come at you from a place of fear. If you don't renew, you are going to lose access to. If you don't renew, I've got one, they start hitting me up 6 months. 6 months before my membership is over, they start sending, Brandon, you need to renew. You need to renew today because in March of 2021, your benefits are going to run out. You're not going to have access to this. You're not going to have access to that. You know what? That's what the Spirit should be doing to us, saying, hey, you need to renew today. You need to renew your heart today. You need to ask God to create a heart today. You need to have your spirit renewed today. Why? Because if your spirit does not stay fresh and your spirit does not stay strong, you are opening yourself up to times of seasons in your life where you're not going to have access to everything you used to have access to. Every time I buy a new car, I get six free months of Sirius Radio. And then I just let it go because I got an iPod. I don't need Sirius. But they try to make my life seem like it's nothing because I don't have their radio playing in my car. I want to encourage you. There's some things you're missing out on because your spirit's grown cold. When was the last time that you spoke in tongues on a day other than Sunday when they weren't playing your favorite worship song? When was the last time that you just had to, English wasn't enough, Spanish wasn't enough, Russian and German weren't enough, and you just, when was the last time you rushed an altar like Ryan did a few moments ago and hit your knees at the altar? When was the last time that you went down to pray for 5 minutes and you looked up and it was 55 minutes? When was the last time that you thought you were going to have a praise break and it turned into a worship concert in your bedroom? All of that is saying, God, I want your heart. God, renew. God, reestablish. Create in me a new heart and renew my spirit. It's got to become the cry of our heart. If we're going to have Jesus, the King of our heart, we have to have that renewing. We have to have that creating at every day, not just some. Your heart leads to steadfast spirit, the Bible says. That word steadfast means a fixed direction. Young man last night, I loved it. He asked me to pray for him. I said, what are we praying for? He said, I'm going to school on Monday. It's our first class back in session, like actually at school. I said, what are we praying for? He said, I just need Jesus this year at school. And I just kept pressing him. And finally, I love his answer. I said, why are we really praying? He said, so I don't backslide. I like that. You might not like that. I like that a 14, 15-year-old kid is saying, that there is something that has happened this summer in my life. God has created a new man and given me a new heart. God has renewed my spirit. I am now a worshiper. I am now a praiser. I now have devos and devotion with God every day. I study my Bible. I serve at church. I do all of these things, but I'm getting ready to go back there. And when I go there, they don't have the same heart that I have. They don't have the same spirit ruling their life that I have. And I need a man of God to pray for me so that I don't go backwards, but I keep going forward and make sure my heart stays connected to God. So this is what I told him. I said, don't be so concerned with going back and just put all of your effort into moving forward. And I love this. I said, you know what? It's impossible to backslide if you're moving forward. The only time you slide back is when the devil brings you to a stop. That's why if you see me any day, every day, I may be having the worst day of my decade, but I'm going to keep moving and keep leaning in and keep moving forward and keep pressing in. Why? Sometimes it doesn't even seem like I'm gaining ground, but guess what? I'm not losing ground. I'm pressing forward. God's renewing my spirit. It doesn't look like much is happening, but I'm pressing forward. So I don't slide back. Somebody give God praise. I'm pressing forward
so I don't slide back. Create in me a pure heart and renew my spirit. How do you renew your spirit? By using your spirit every day. Using not speaking in tongues only every day. Using that spirit to guide, instruct, advise, direct. A pure heart leads to a steadfast, I'm fixed in my direction. An impure heart leads to a wavering spirit. This is what he says. I want you to create in me a pure heart, renew my spirit. And then he goes on to say the benefits that a pure heart creates. He said a pure heart creates so many things for the believers. He said the presence of God. Don't cast me from your presence. When you have the heart of God, you have all of God. Let me say that again. When you have the heart of God, you have all of God. You have God the deliverer. You have God the healer. You have God the financial advisor. You have God the savior. You have God the rock. You have God the vindicator. You have God, oh, come on. You have God his joy. You've got God the prince of peace. You've got God the king of kings. When I have his heart, I have everything. You know how I know that's true? Because a 16-year-old girl did the same thing to you when you were in high school. She got your heart. She made you do things you normally wouldn't do because she knew if I have his heart, I'll have everything. I'll have him spend money on me. I'll have him do things and go places that he would. Come on, your boy right here. I went and saw Beauty and the Beast. Not the movie. Not an hour and 15 minutes. The Broadway show. Wasn't what I wanted to do on a Friday night. But some girl had my heart, so she had me. Whatever has your heart has you. And realize whatever you capture the heart of, you get all of them. And so every day, I'm not trying to catch the world's eye. I saw a great sermon that Chris shared yesterday. Too many people trying to be popular on earth and you're unknown in heaven. I'm not trying to catch your eye. I'm not trying to get you on the Brandon Fender bandwagon. I'm trying to catch the eye of God. And I don't have to try very hard because I've got his heart, I've got his eye. Because I've got his heart, I've got his hand. Because I got his heart, I got his feet. Because I got his heart, I got his voice. Because, oh, come on now. If you get his heart, you get everything. The presence of God. The second thing is he said, your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes with the heart of God. When you get the heart of God, he said, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He said, when I get that pure heart and a renewed spirit, he said, your Holy Spirit is not taken from me, but it resides with me. Have you ever been to a place where all you could do was cry and pray in the Holy Ghost? I've been there before. Not a lot of things make me cry. God will make me cry. Not tears of bitterness, but just in his presence. The heaviness of his spirit. Sometimes it is the heaviness of life, but as long as I can peek my eyes open and know the Holy Spirit is with me, I know that my heart and the Spirit of God is there. My heart is right. I know that I can make it through whatever I'm facing today. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. The third thing that a pure heart creates is restoration. Can I encourage you? Go home and read Joel chapter 2. One of the greatest verses, one of the greatest chapters on restoration, because it talks about the former rain and the latter rain and all coming together. That means the things that were stolen from you and the now rain that what God is wanting to do all comes and shows up at your front door. Can I just preach on Joel 2 for just a moment? We got another week next week to finish this out, but I want to encourage you. The Bible says that Joel began to prophesy, and he said, in the last days, come on, I will pour out my spirit. I will restore to you the things, the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust took from you. Talks about the fat and the wine and the storehouse, but he said, and then there will be a deluge when the latter rain and the former rain are given at the same time. That means all of your year of blessing shows up at one time. That means I'm 38 years of stolen blessing, 38 years of delayed promise, 38 years where the enemy came in and stole from me, things I know that he stole that I've given up on, things that I didn't even know were coming my way that he stole. God said, I'm getting ready in the first month. Come on now. I'm getting ready to bring it all together for you. And God is looking for somebody that's got a heart that is directed towards him. He's looking for somebody with a pure heart and a renewed spirit. And he said, when you've got those two things, I'll bring to you restoration.
brings you restoration. Restoration is not bringing you to where you were. Restoration is bringing you to what he created you to be. What he created you to be. That means no sickness. Come on. That means no division in family, in marriage. He goes on to say, restore to me the joy. A pure heart will lead to joy. Listen to what I'm about to say. The older I get, the bolder I get. How many of you are at that level? You just don't care anymore. Come on. Somebody I was doing business with said, you know, money, just in general conversation, I don't really know this person very well. They do know I'm a preacher. And they said, you know, money can't buy happiness. I said, oh, yes, it can. I said, if you don't think money can't buy happiness, you've never had a lot of money. Because when people win the publishing house clearance, they get happy. When someone wins the lottery, they get happy. I preached about hot dogs the other day. Someone, a great family of this church, sent me a gift card to Sonic. I got happy. Over $10 a hot dog. What money can't buy you is joy. Because joy is not something you get. Joy is something he is. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I can't have his joy until I have his heart. Some of us are trying to get joy and trying to get and circumvent having to have his heart, because we know when we get his heart, it's going to change our addictions. Come on. You say, what does that mean? Paul said, I'm addicted to the ministry. You know, you can just shift. If you've got an addictive nature, come on now. I was never addicted to whiskey, but I was addicted to Dr. Peppers and Big Red and sweet tea. You can just shift your addiction. And what you were addicted to in the world, now you can be addicted. Oh, I used to be club hopping 3 or 4 nights a week. Now you're at church 3 or 4 nights a week. You just changed your addiction. You just changed what you long for. Can I encourage you today, if you want joy in your life, you're going to have to bite the bullet and say, God, I can't have joy without having you, and I can't have you without having your heart. So put in this body your heart so that I can have joy. Happiness. It's up and down. Sometimes I'm happy at 9 and I'm mad at 9:30 and I'm happy again at 10:30. You say, that's bipolar. No, that's Tuesday. But joy, I can be mad and still have joy. I can be going through something and say, man, this is uncomfortable. I wish I didn't have to go. But God, your joy, not my joy, because my joy is depleted right now. I don't have anything. I'm not happy right now. But your joy, because I have your heart, is right here with me. And I refuse to go backwards because I have something in front of me, New Testament, because of the joy that was set before him. Christ endured the cross. I'll endure whatever I have to endure because the joy is set before me and I know I'm going to make it to that. He said, the joy of your salvation. Salvation comes from a pure heart. The day you got saved, I'm running out of time, but the day you got saved, you were created in you, what was created, a brand new heart. I love what God is doing at Living Way. And Pastor Manny and I have talked about this. And if you haven't noticed it, you're like an ostrich with your head in the sand. God is doing significant things in children and teenagers at Living Way right now. Filling them with the Holy Ghost, getting them saved, getting them serving, getting them baptized. So a young man named Jaden, is Jaden here today? Jaden might be here. Jaden was baptized on Wednesday night. Now, Jaden was the first one of his family that said he wanted to be baptized. And then all of his other family members jumped in. There's Jaden right there. Jaden, wave it, everybody real quick. There's Jaden right there. I don't know how old Jaden is. Jaden's like, what, 11, 12? He's 10 years old. Jaden was the first one that wanted to get baptized in his family. Boom, the domino effect happened. All of his family got baptized the same night. Now, when I was talking to Jaden, now let me just talk to some grandparents and mamas out there. Don't be forcing your kids to get baptized. We ain't Catholics. This ain't Lutheran. This is Book of Acts, Holy Ghost Church. And so I can tell by the way your kid's acting up there if it was their idea or your idea. Whether it's a photo op for grandma or whether God's dealing with their heart. And Jaden, the entire time, 10 years old, he's excited. It's a big smile on his face. He's talking about it.
when he came out of the water, man, he's praising God. After he got dried off and changed, he said, Pastor Brandon, he said, I feel different. And then he said this, I love this. He said, I feel clean. 10 years old, I feel different. I feel clean. Salvation cleans our heart. This is where we as a church have to get, because where we're going as society. In the next few months and years, we're going to fill this church with crack addicts. Not former. I'm talking about they're addicted to crack when they walk in the door. You're going to see a 13-year-old pregnant girl waddle down to the altar. You're going to see prostitutes, cross-dressers, transgender, Muslims, Buddhists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. You're going to see a million different kinds of people walking here. This is where we have to keep this. You can't expect them to clean up until God cleans their heart. Just because he cleans their heart doesn't mean that overnight he's going to clean the rest of them. But as long as they get the right heart, we're going to deal with them on their road of growth and maturity in faith. You didn't get to where you are overnight, and we're not going to expect them to get to where we are overnight. We're going to give them grace to grow. We're going to give them grace to fall. We're going to give them grace to make mistakes. But we're going to be there as patriarchs and matriarchs of faith saying, hey, baby, get up and try again. Hey, baby, don't stay down. Hey, we're here for you. Hey, we're in your corner. We're going to make sure that the saving of your heart cleans the rest of your life up. Stand on your feet. One of my friends today, great guy. Today, I looked on early this morning, 6:30 this morning, and he said, Vision Sunday at church today. And I thought, my man, this dude's having Vision Sunday in the middle of the pandemic. Wow. This guy's already talking about what God's going to do the rest of this year and 2021. And I said, God, give me that kind of zeal. Give me the heart of you, God, that we're not just going to make it through the pandemic and we're not struggling, but God, we're coming out in victory. We're coming out with families that have been baptized. We're coming out with people being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is where we're at, church. It almost seems like a January 1st sermon. Salvation. Clean my heart. Clean my heart, Jesus, and the rest of my body will follow. You know, a clean heart won't let you stay addicted. You know, a clean heart won't let you be a racist. A clean heart won't let you be prejudiced. We love you. But we're like Jesus. We love you enough to not leave you like we found you. We're going to keep preaching to that heart. Gets renewed, to that heart comes back to its original state. The final two things is a willing spirit. That God, give me a willing spirit. Holy Spirit, willing spirit, two different things. Holy Spirit's big S, that's him. Willing spirit, little s, that's us. It's toward the end of what he says happens with a clean heart and a renewed spirit. Here he says, God, give me the willingness. Come on, David, not moved by obligation, but moved by love. I'll serve. I'll love. I'll reach out. One of our great members here at the church messaged me and said, Pastor, he just moved into a new home. He said, I got my neighbors coming on Sunday and Wednesday. I'm giving them a ride. I said, wow, just take every excuse away from them. I'll give you a ride. I'll pay for the gas money. Let's go to church. God, I'm willing. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. Give me that heart. A willing spirit for sustenance or a sustaining power. A pure heart and a will in the Holy Spirit, a renewed spirit does this. It gives you the power to finish, not to start. I'm going to say this in closing. Ushers are already ready for you to respond to this altar call. I know that there are people that are watching today that you are legitimately quarantining, and I respect you for that. Use wisdom. Use knowledge that God gives you to make these decisions for you and your family. But I've noticed that there's some people that are at Fiesta, Texas. They're on the river. They're going to malls. Our kids are back in school. We're going to work, but every Sunday at 9, 11, and Wednesday at 7, we're quarantining. If you can be on the river, you can be a church. If you can go to the mall, you can be a church. Now, if you're legitimately quarantining, keep quarantining until God says so. But a friend of mine said, a member here said, I'm scared to come to church. I said, you should never be scared to come to church. I said, here's what you do. Come in at 11:15 and sit on the back row of the balcony. When I open the altar call, leave and go to your car. You'll never get within 50 feet of somebody living away if that's what you do. They haven't come back yet. I took their excuse away. They're not ready to have that willing heart. But I want that willing heart because I want sustaining power. You and I have proven to the devil, give us your best shot. We're going to keep running you over every single time. God bless you, Vivi. God bless you, Sean. Here comes Jenna. God's touching her body. Here comes Ryan. Here comes the rest of the family, Jaden, James, and John. Man, I'm remembering names better than I used to. God's got you. Is anybody else that's ready for their heart of stone, for their wavering spirit to be done away with? Is there a moment right now in time where you can be honest?